Hey there.
Yeah.
Welcome to our deep dive today. You know, you shared a fascinating article with
Oh,
us.
yeah.
Government Trends 2025. Public sector looks to modernize.
Right?
And we're going to unpack just what a modernized government might look like for you. Luckily, I've got an expert here to help us break it all down.
I'm excited to dive in. This article highlights a pretty significant shift happening in government right now. It's
Yeah.
not just about tweaking things around the edges. It's a fundamental change in how things operate.
Okay, let's unpack this. We always hear these jokes about government being slow, stuck in the past.
Oh, yeah.
This article claims a new era of agility is on the horizon. Is that really realistic?
Well, think about your own experiences. We're all used to doing things online
Oh,
now.
sure.
Banking, shopping, even doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
Governments are catching on to this, realizing they need to offer that same level of speed and convenience to citizens.
So it's not just about updating websites, it's a whole digital transformation. That's
Exactly.
what we've seen in the private sector.
Governments are moving systems to the cloud, automating processes, and even starting to experiment with AI and things like robotic process automation. Gartner predicts that by 2026, over 60% of government organizations will be prioritizing this kind of automation.
Wow, 60%. That's a huge jump from just a few years ago.
It
I
is.
confess, when I hear robotic process automation in the context of government, I immediately picture some clunky robot trying to stamp my passport. What kinds of real-world changes might we actually see?
Let's say you need to renew your driver's license. Right now, it probably involves a trip to the DMV, standing in line, filling out paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine instead, you do everything online, upload your documents, and get your new license mailed to you, all handled by a system that's running 24/7, no human error.
That would be amazing. No more taking a day off work just to deal with bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That's the kind of efficiency I can get behind. But the article also brings up a big concern: public trust.
It's true. Even if governments become more tech savvy, it won't matter if people don't trust them. To use these new tools responsibly.
The 2024 Edelman Trust Barometer actually rated government far lower than businesses
Wow.
in terms of both competence and ethics. That's a pretty big hurdle to overcome, isn't it?
It is. But that's why it's crucial to understand the trends driving this transformation.
Oh.
The article outlines five key areas: meeting citizen expectations, embracing AI, closing skills gaps, advancing equity, and building resilience. We need to analyze each of these to see how they can address that trust deficit.
All while agencies are dealing with tight budgets, employee shortages, and a constantly growing demand for services,
Right.
it's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
So let's start with something we can all relate to: citizen expectations. What are citizens demanding from their governments in 2025 and beyond?
Think about it this way. You wouldn't put up with bad service from your bank or your favorite online retailer. You expect them to be responsive, easy to deal with, and to value your time. Citizens are bringing those same expectations to their interactions with government.
And according to McKinsey, government services are actually ranked dead last in customer satisfaction compared to nine other industries. Ouch.
Yes, it's clear there's room for improvement. But here's the exciting part.
Okay.
By focusing on the citizen experience, governments can build trust, save money, and even encourage more people to get involved in their communities.
The article mentioned that 89% of U.S. federal agencies
Yeah.
are committed to creating more transparent and accessible services.
That's great.
But what does that look like in practice? Can you give us some concrete examples?
Imagine a world where you can track the status of your passport application in real time, just like you can track a package delivery
Okay.
or a city website. That lets you easily report potholes and track their repair progress. These are just a few examples of how government services can be redesigned to put citizens first.
That's the kind of transparency and accountability people are looking for. So moving on to AI, the article points out that government has barely scratched the surface
Yeah.
when it comes to utilizing AI,
All right.
but it also suggests that's about to change dramatically.
Yeah, that's right. While a U.S. General Accountability Office report found that many federal agencies haven't fully implemented AI solutions, there's a growing recognition of its potential. And the EY study you shared shows that nearly 75% of federal IT decision makers believe widespread AI adoption will happen within the next 3 years. That's a pretty significant shift.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The article mentions AI being used for everything, from automating tasks to boosting productivity within tight budgets. I think most people hear AI and think of robots replacing human workers.
Right.
Is that what we're talking about here?
It's more nuanced than that. While there are concerns about job displacement, AI can also be used to enhance the work that humans do.
Okay.
For example, imagine a government agency using an AI-powered chatbot to answer frequently asked questions from citizens. This would free up human staff to handle more complex issues, leading to better service overall.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's about using AI strategically to improve efficiency.
Yeah.
And free up resources, not just replacing people altogether.
Exactly. Think about an AI-powered virtual assistant. That helps government employees quickly find the information they need to do their jobs.
Okay.
Or using AI to analyze large data sets, to identify trends, and make better decisions about resource allocation, the possibilities are quite vast.
But of course, with any powerful technology, there are potential risks.
Sure.
We need to make sure these AI systems are being used responsibly and ethically right.
Absolutely. We need to be mindful of potential biases in AI algorithms and ensure that these systems are used in a way that benefits all citizens, not just a select few.
Right.
That's where things like transparency and oversight become crucial.
So we've got citizen expectations and the rise of AI. What about the skills gap? The article highlighted that as a major challenge for governments trying to modernize.
It's a huge obstacle. You can't implement new technologies if you don't have people with the right skills to manage and maintain them.
And it sounds like this has been an issue for a while. The article mentions that the U.S. Government Accountability Office has been flagging this as a high-risk area since 2001.
That's right. The Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, which is responsible for managing the federal workforce, has identified specific skill gaps in crucial areas like cybersecurity, human resources, and acquisition. What's even more ironic is that OPM itself is struggling to find data analytics experts.
Well, wow.
It's like the people in charge of fixing the problem are facing the same problem themselves.
That is quite ironic. It highlights how pervasive the issue is.
It does.
The EY study found that 40% of federal leaders see the lack of skilled employees as a major roadblock to modernization. So how do we bridge this gap? It seems like a daunting task, especially when the problem has persisted for so long.
Training and upskilling are essential. Attracting and retaining talent with the right skills is paramount for governments to succeed in this new digital era.
And it's not just about technical skills, Ryan. The article also emphasizes the push for greater equity in government.
Absolutely. Equity is a key trend. That's about building a diverse workforce, providing inclusive services, and working with a diverse range of vendors. It's about making sure everyone has equal access to opportunities and benefits from government services, regardless of their background.
The article quoted Deloitte, emphasizing the government's focus on reducing historical disparities, improving access to resources, and implementing fairer regulations. It seems like quite a broad and ambitious goal.
It is, but it's a vital one. Equity needs to be a core value for governments in 2025 and beyond.
And we're already seeing some concrete examples of this, like the U.S. Internal Revenue Service's new tool that allows families in 12 states to file their taxes for free, directly with the IRS.
That's a great example of how technology can be leveraged to make services more accessible and equitable.
So we've covered citizen expectations, AI, and the need for a more skilled and equitable workforce. The article also stressed the importance of agility, especially in today's rapidly changing world. What does that mean in the context of government?
Agility is about being able to respond quickly and effectively to unforeseen challenges. Think about the pandemic, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Governments had to adapt rapidly to a situation they had never encountered before.
And it seems like climate change, cybersecurity threats, and economic uncertainty.
Right.
We're only going to make agility more important in the years to come.
Exactly. Governments need to be prepared to pivot and adapt to a wide range of challenges.
The EY study actually found that 89% of state and local leaders see modernizing infrastructure to withstand extreme weather as a key priority.
Aww.
That's a pretty clear indication of the changing landscape.
It is. And agility is about more than just technology.
Right.
It requires a comprehensive approach involving regulatory adjustments, collaboration, and workforce innovation.
It's a mindset shift.
Precisely. As Deloitte puts it, it's about a coordinated effort where regulatory adjustments, collaboration, and workforce innovations complement technological advancements.
So even though there are some serious challenges facing governments, it sounds like there are also some exciting opportunities for positive change.
There are. And despite the stereotype of government as slow and bureaucratic, many organizations are proving that transformation is possible.
Okay.
The article even highlighted a few inspiring success stories.
Let's dive into those. What are some examples of governments that are doing modernization right?
One great example is the canton of Basel-Stadt in Switzerland. They were able to quickly implement technology during the pandemic to provide rent relief to businesses and landlords.
It's impressive, especially given the urgency of the situation. What other examples stood out to you?
Another great example is Cape Town, South Africa. They automated their field management processes to speed up road repairs and take a more proactive approach to road maintenance.
Using technology to improve basic services and infrastructure, it's a great way to demonstrate that government is working for the people. What was the last example?
The city of Hamburg in Germany developed a self-service platform that processes financial aid requests digitally, which helped a cultural industry, and set a best practice model for supporting those in need.
These examples are really encouraging. It shows that government can be innovative and responsive to the needs of its citizens.
It does, and it underscores the fact that while there are challenges, there are also opportunities. By embracing these trends and adopting a more agile and citizen-centric approach, governments can make a real difference in people's lives.
So it seems like we're at a pivotal moment. Governments are facing a lot of pressure to adapt and modernize, but they're also starting to embrace new technologies and ways of working.
Right.
But what does all of this mean for the average person?
That's the key question, isn't it? We can talk about these grand trends, but how will they actually impact people's everyday lives?
Exactly. We've covered a lot of ground here, but I'm curious to dig deeper into the implications for you and me. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the most important thing is to remember that these trends aren't just abstract concepts. They're going to have a very real impact on how we interact with our governments, how our communities are run, and even how we live our daily lives.
That's a great point. We're not just talking about statistics and reports here. We're talking about changes that will affect everyone.
Right. And the future is not something that just happens to us. It's something we create together.
So how do we make sure this future is one we can all be proud of?
It starts with staying informed and engaged. The more we understand about these trends and the choices being made, the more empowered we are to shape the future we want.
That's an important message. It's not just about waiting for the government to get things right. It's about actively participating in the process.
Absolutely. The future of government is the future of all of us.
So for you listening right now, we encourage you to keep diving deep into these topics. Ask questions, stay curious, and get involved. We'll be back soon. To explore even more facets of this fascinating and ever-evolving world of government trends.
Until then, keep learning and keep exploring.
You know, it's easy to get lost in all the tech talk, but I keep coming back to something you said earlier, how these trends will actually affect people in their daily lives.
Right.
Can you give us some specific examples? What might this new era of government look like for the average person?
Let's take the example of healthcare. Imagine a future where instead of navigating a complex web of providers and insurance companies, you have a personalized digital platform that manages all your health information. This platform could be powered by AI,
okay,
proactively alerting you to potential health risks based on your genetic data and lifestyle choices,
mm-hmm,
and even connecting you with the right specialists.
That sounds incredible, like having a personal health assistant in your pocket.
Right.
But wouldn't that require a massive overhaul of our current healthcare system?
It would definitely require significant changes. But many of the building blocks are already in place. We're seeing a shift towards electronic health records, telehealth is becoming more common, and the use of AI in diagnostics and treatment is rapidly advancing.
So it's not just a pipe dream. It's a potential future we're moving towards.
Right.
But what about those who aren't comfortable with technology?
Right.
Or don't have access to it? We can't leave anyone behind in this digital revolution.
That's a crucial point. As governments embrace these new technologies, they need to ensure that everyone has equal access and that no one is excluded.
Right.
This means addressing the digital divide by providing affordable internet access, digital literacy training, and alternative service delivery options for those who need them.
Sounds like a major undertaking.
Yeah.
But one that's absolutely necessary if we want to create a truly inclusive and equitable society.
Speaking of equity, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how these trends might impact specific communities or groups.
For instance, the article mentioned that governments are increasingly focused on reducing historical disparities. How can technology play a role in achieving that goal?
Technology can be a powerful tool for promoting equity, but it's not a silver bullet. We need to be mindful of the potential for bias in AI algorithms and ensure that these systems are designed and implemented in a way that benefits everyone.
So it's not just about creating the technology, it's about using it responsibly.
Exactly. One example of how technology can be used to promote equity is in the area of criminal justice. We're seeing the development of AI-powered risk assessment tools that can help judges make more informed decisions about bail and sentencing, reducing the potential for human bias.
That's a really interesting example, but I imagine there are concerns about those tools themselves being biased, especially given the historical inequities within the criminal justice system.
You're absolutely right. That's why it's crucial to have robust oversight and accountability mechanisms in place to ensure these tools are being used fairly and ethically.
It sounds like a constant balancing act, embracing the potential of technology, while also being mindful of its limitations and potential pitfalls.
It is, and it requires a collaborative approach, bringing together policymakers, technologists, community members, and other stakeholders to ensure that these technologies are used in a way that benefits everyone.
This conversation has really highlighted the complexity of these issues. It's not just about government adopting new gadgets or implementing shiny new software. It's about a fundamental shift in how we think about the role of government in the 21st century.
I couldn't agree more. It's about moving away from a top-down bureaucratic model of government to a more citizen-centric, responsive, and data-driven approach.
And it's about recognizing that technology is not a solution in and of itself, but a tool that can be used to amplify the impact of good policy and human ingenuity.
Precisely. And as we navigate these uncharted waters, I think it's important to remember that we're all in this together. The future of government is not something that's dictated to us. It's something we shape collectively.
That brings us back to the idea of citizen engagement. What can people do to make their voices heard and ensure that these trends are moving in a positive direction?
There are so many ways to get involved. Stay informed about the issues, attend town hall meetings, contact your elected officials, and support organizations that are working to make government more responsive and accountable.
And don't underestimate the power of simply talking to your friends and neighbors about these issues. The more we raise awareness and have these conversations, the more likely we are to create the kind of future we want.
Absolutely. Change starts at the grassroots level.
We've talked a lot about the potential benefits of these trends, but I want to address the elephant in the room. What about the potential downsides?
Sure.
For instance, many people are concerned about the impact of AI on jobs. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a valid concern. There's no doubt that AI will automate certain tasks and potentially displace some jobs. However, it's important to remember that throughout history, technological advancements have always created new jobs and opportunities.
So it's not about stopping progress, it's about adapting to it.
Exactly. And governments have a crucial role to play in this transition. They need to invest in education and training programs to help workers adapt to the changing job market and acquire the skills they need to thrive in a more digital economy.
And it's not just about retraining for new jobs, it's also about rethinking our social safety nets and support systems to ensure that everyone has a fair shot in this new world.
Absolutely. We need to ensure that the benefits of technological progress are shared broadly and that no one is left behind.
This brings us to another potential concern, privacy. With governments collecting more data and using AI to analyze it, how can we be sure our personal information is being protected?
Privacy is paramount, and it's something that needs to be addressed proactively. Governments need to implement strong data protection laws, ensure transparency in how data is being used, and give individuals control over their own information.
And it's not just about legal frameworks, it's also about building a culture of trust and accountability. Citizens need to feel confident that their governments are handling their data responsibly and ethically.
Exactly. Trust is earned, not given.
So as we move forward into this new era of government, it seems like the key is to embrace the potential while also being mindful of the risks. We need to be vigilant, engaged, and demanding of our
I
leaders.
couldn't agree more. The future of government is ultimately in our hands.
This has been such a thought-provoking conversation. I feel like we've only scratched the surface of these complex issues. What are some key takeaways you hope our listener will walk away with?
I think the most important takeaway is that the future of government is not predetermined. It's something we are actively shaping through the choices we make and the actions we take.
And it's a future that will have a profound impact on all of our lives.
Absolutely. The way our governments adapt and evolve in the coming years will determine everything from the quality of our public services to the health of our democracy to the very fabric of our society.
It's a lot to think about, but it's also incredibly exciting. We have the opportunity to create a better future for ourselves and for generations to come.
I agree. And it starts with each of us taking an active role in shaping that future.
You know, as we're talking about all these interconnected elements, it strikes me that the concept of resilience ties everything together.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the key trends in the article. And it feels particularly relevant in our rapidly changing world.
Absolutely. Resilience is becoming increasingly critical for governments. In today's unpredictable landscape, they need to be prepared to anticipate, adapt, and bounce back from a wide range of challenges, from natural disasters to cyber attacks to global economic shifts. It's not just about surviving these events. It's about thriving in the face of them.
The article mentioned a statistic from the EY study that really drove this point home for me. 89% of state and local leaders consider modernizing infrastructure to withstand extreme weather a key priority.
Wow.
It seems like climate change is pushing this conversation to the forefront.
Definitely. We're seeing the effects of climate change all around us, from more frequent and intense hurricanes to devastating wildfires to rising sea levels.
Right.
Governments need to invest in resilient infrastructure that can withstand these challenges and protect their citizens.
So it's about things like building stronger bridges,
yeah,
more robust power grids,
yeah,
and more resilient coastal defenses.
Yes. But it's also about more than just physical infrastructure.
Okay.
It's about creating flexible and adaptable systems that can continue to function even in the face of disruption. Think about the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And how governments had to quickly shift to remote work and online service delivery. That kind of agility and adaptability is essential for building resilience.
It sounds like technology has a huge role to play in all of this. We've already talked about how AI and automation can improve efficiency. But it seems like they can also contribute to building more resilient systems.
Absolutely. Imagine a city using AI-powered sensors to monitor traffic flow in real time and adjust traffic signals to minimize congestion during an emergency evacuation.
Uh-huh.
Or a government agency using predictive analytics to anticipate potential supply chain disruptions and take steps to mitigate them. These are just a few examples of how technology can be used to enhance resilience. It's incredible to think about how these technologies can not only improve the day-to-day functioning of government, but also help us prepare for and respond to unexpected challenges.
Right.
But I imagine it's not as simple as just throwing technology at the problem. What other factors contribute to building a truly resilient government?
You're right. It's not just about technology. It's about fostering a culture of innovation, collaboration, and continuous learning within government. It's about empowering employees to think creatively, take risks, and adapt to change.
So it's about a shift in mindset as much as anything else.
Exactly. And it's also about building strong partnerships with communities, businesses, and other stakeholders. Governments can't do it alone. They need to work collaboratively with others to build resilient communities and systems.
It seems like we're talking about a much more interconnected and collaborative approach to government than what we've traditionally seen.
We are. It's about recognizing that resilience is a collective effort. We all have a role to play in building a more resilient future.
This whole conversation has been incredibly eye-opening. We've explored so many facets of the future of government, from the rise of AI to the importance of equity to the need for greater resilience. As we wrap up our deep dive, I'd love to hear your final thoughts on what the future holds for government and for all of us.
I believe we're at a pivotal moment. The challenges facing our world are complex and interconnected, but so are the opportunities. We have the tools, the technology, and the human ingenuity to create a better future.
It's inspiring to hear you speak with such optimism.
I'm optimistic because I see the incredible potential for positive change. Governments are starting to embrace new ways of thinking, new technologies, and new approaches to collaboration. And citizens are becoming more engaged and demanding more from their leaders.
What are your hopes for the future of government? If you could wave a magic wand and make one change, what would it be?
If I could make one change, it would be to instill a deep sense of purpose and public service within government. I want to see governments that are truly driven by a desire to serve their citizens, to solve problems, and to make the world a better place.
That's a beautiful sentiment, and it resonates deeply with what we've been talking about today. It's not just about efficiency or technology. It's about using those tools to create a more just, equitable, and thriving society for everyone.
Precisely. And I believe that's a future worth striving for.
This has been such a rich and insightful conversation. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the future of government.
It's been my pleasure.
We hope you, our listener, have found it valuable and thought-provoking.
And remember, the future is not something that happens to us. It's something we create together. So stay curious, stay engaged, and keep diving deep.